and we're going to have the reading from God's Word, and we are going to start in Exodus, so we can open our church Bibles to page 78, if you have a church Bible. So far, the Ten Commandments have reminded us that God frees his people from slavery to stay free, to live as free people. And so God takes this nation, doesn't he? He creates them and he puts them amongst these nations around to show the world what it looks like to belong to Creator God. It is to have one God only, the God, because other gods enslave you. It is to have the right approach to the one God, because there's only one way to the one God. It's to honour him in mind and speech, as we were thinking about last week. Not to reduce God, not to trivialise him or belittle him in any way, especially with our speech. God's rules are great because he is. We need his rules because we're weak. So we come to number four today, which is about a day in the week, specifically for the weak people we are. So first up, I'm going to read Exodus 20, 8 to 10. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Well, that seems pretty clear, doesn't it? Crystal clear, really. Let's turn, though, to Mark chapter 2. Mix things up a bit. Now, let's hear what the Lord Jesus says on the Sabbath day and what he does. So Mark chapter 2, and I'm going to read from verse 23 to chapter 3, verse 6. This is page 1004 in the church Bibles. Mark chapter 2, verse 23. And the question is, what is Jesus doing here now on the Sabbath? What's going on? Well, one Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some ears of corn. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Another time Jesus went into the synagogue. A man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Stand up in front of everyone.' Then Jesus asked him, 'Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?' But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts and said to them, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus." Lastly, let's turn to Hebrews 4, an expansion of the Genesis 2 passage. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. This is page 1203 in the church Bibles. So Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. "Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you have been found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God said, has said. So I declare an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, on the seventh day God rested from all his works. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. I wonder how easy you find it to stop what you're doing, whether it's midway through a job, exam revision, DIY, any kind of thing where you kind of get into it and you've got to stop. I mean, starting things can be quite easy. It's pretty easy to start projects and so on, isn't it? But stopping can be really hard, especially if we've got a bit of OCD in us, speak for myself. Interruptions can be frustrating. We often struggle to take a break, to switch off, but we need to. We need to. Do you know who said the following? I feel thin, sort of stretched, like butter scraped over too much bread. Bilbo Baggins. Is Bilbo alone? No. Because our struggle to stop leaves many of us strained, doesn't it? Stressed, overwhelmed with the pace of life. Perhaps today, some of us here are near the end of our tether. Perhaps we are close to burnout, some of us. What do we need? We need rest. We need rest. On the other hand, there may be some here today who need to hear the work bit of this talk because you just are lazy. Overwork or laziness, whatever side we might fall, we need the Lord at the center of our lives. And this is what the Ten Commandments give us. And Commandment 4, God says to his people, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. So in a crazy, busy world that doesn't stop, God says, stop. Take a day. Set it apart. Now this command is different from the others, isn't it? It's the only one that begins remember. It's the only one that's subject to debate about whether it still stands today. There's no doubt that the other nine are binding for today. Have no gods. Don't make idols. Don't misuse my name. Honor your parents. Don't murder. And so on. They're all moral laws that stand, you know, clearly for all of time. What about this command? Some say this command stands as it is, which is why you have groups like the Seventh-day Adventists who meet on Saturdays. What about us? Well, before we go forward in the Bible, we're going to go back and remember that in Genesis 2, passage read earlier, God stopped and he rested, didn't he? And the seven-day units that we use across the globe today, of course, come from creation. But what does it mean that God rested? Well, the NIV wording is pretty helpful to us. It makes clear that God's rest wasn't because he needed, you know, a sit-down and a cup of tea, but he had finished. His rest was that of satisfaction. And because God rested, we do. We stop. And we remember firstly, our Creator. And we take time to specifically come together and worship him together. after resting, when was it that God next worked? Well, it wasn't long, actually, at all, because in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, we see God working as he makes clothes for Adam and Eve. Remember, following their sin, he clothed them, didn't he, in animal skins. And that was the fall. And God has been continually working to sustain the world ever since, because this world is subject to decay. So in John chapter 5, Jesus says, my Father works and I work. God's weekly pattern, having been set in creation, is first instructed to God's people in Exodus 16. The Sabbath day was a day of praise for his rescue, and therefore a reminder also of Eden lost, but also as they gathered enough manna, they're instructed to, on day 6 for day 7, they were being taught to trust their God. They were being taught to remember also their Creator's provision. So rest wasn't needed by Adam before the fall, but it was needed after the fall. And so God institutes the Jewish Sabbath for his weak people, a day rooted from creation. But we don't observe a Jewish Sabbath, do we? If we did, we would be meeting on Saturdays. Why? What has changed? Well, Jesus came to us, didn't he? So remember also our Saviour. We sometimes forget the massive changes that Jesus coming to us made. He came to wrap up the old covenant, to bring in the new covenant in his blood, which meant an end to the priesthood, an end to the temple, the sacrifices, to Judaism itself. But did he end the Jewish Sabbath? Well, yes and no. Yes, and we read, didn't we, a few minutes ago, how Jesus made it clear to the Pharisees by letting the disciples eat corn on the Sabbath, by healing the man's hand on the Sabbath. So intentional, wasn't it? And in John 5, he heals a man on the mat as well, both on the Sabbath. Why did he do that on the Sabbath? He wasn't breaking God's law. Jesus wouldn't do that. He was breaking some of the Pharisees' many extra laws, but it was intentional because he'd arrived, and he'd arrived to bring the old system down and bring in the new, didn't he? So Christians today, we are not bound by the Jewish Sabbath. Again, if we were, we should be meeting on Saturday. But the Sabbath principle, one day in seven, remains as a set pattern, as part of the pattern set by God in Genesis 2. It's a creation ordinance, this one in seven. A bit like we're thinking about this evening, in the creation, that he made them male and female. That's what we'll be thinking about tonight. There in creation, these big things happen that are to stand for all time. Command 4 is not binding on us in a Jewish sense, but it is God's wise rhythm of work and rest for his creation in a Genesis sense. Why today does the Christian church the world over meet on Sunday? Why today do we call this the Lord's Day? Because Jesus rose on Sunday, which we're told is the first day of the week. So maybe we should move this. I didn't want to get into sort of children's talk, as you can imagine, how confusing it would be. And if you're confused, we can chat after. First day of the week, we're told in the Bible. Why most people have a two-day weekend is, I think, because Saturday was the day, Saturday's over there, to remember God's, the Creator's provision, and that has stayed for us, hasn't it, as a day off in order to enjoy his creation. That's kind of what we do on Saturdays. And Sunday, a day to remember his and enjoy his salvation. Of course, there's crossover, but there's one way of thinking about it. Now, that's some explanation stuff. What I want to do now is try and dive in a bit and get a bit more practical as we think about the Lord's Day. And first, think about how that if we ignore God's pattern of one day in seven, we do so at our own cost. We will hurt ourselves. God cares for the weak, so we must take a day off in the week. This is wisdom for us. Because whilst God is our creator, we are what? We are but dust. He's our creator, we are not him. Psalm 103, verse 14, he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. God knows what we're made from and to what we will return. The problem is we sometimes think we're made from something more, don't we? If we claim we don't need to stop and rest, what are we doing? Well, we're elevating ourselves really above the other members of the human race, which is rather arrogant and very foolish of us as well. Some years ago, a senior doctor wrote, we doctors in a treatment of nervous diseases are compelled to prescribe periods of rest. Some of these periods, I think, are only Sundays in arrears. How very poignant. He's saying if we don't take Sundays weekly, then most likely we'll have to take them all together in a big heap at some point. If we don't take a break, we'll break. That's what he's saying. If we don't stop voluntarily, we'll have to stop involuntarily. And it'll be called by some other name, probably burnout or stress or some sort of ulcer that we get. As dust, children of the dust, the question isn't, will we stop, but rather, how will we stop? Weekly, according to God's pattern, or will it be forced on us by some other means? But we might be here today and we might think, well, I just can't stop. You know, if you knew, Ben, how much I have to do, if you knew how busy I am, all I have to think about, my head's going to explode, all the things I've got to worry about, how can I rest? Well, Christian, do we have a Father in heaven? Can you call him Abba Father? Is he that close in your life? Or is our Father in heaven unknowing? Is he uncaring? Is he unable to oversee and intervene in our hectic lives? And when he came to us and said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will bring you rest. Did he say, but not you? You don't need to. And when he tells us to cast our cares on him because he cares for us, was that kind of just a placebo, if you like? We're dust. We must take rest. But actually taking rest is a trust issue. But because our Creator God provides, we can trust him. He provides, so we can trust him. Here's the good news for the overworked and the restless amongst us. You can rest because God doesn't rest. You can stop because God doesn't stop. To stop, even for a day of the week in our manic culture, is to exercise trust in God. It's to say, yes, I am dust. Yes, God, you are God. Yeah, I'm a steward of the things you have entrusted to me, but those things don't rely on me. So God, I can rest because I trust in you. Your shoulders are bigger than mine, much bigger. Who do I think I am? Again, it's a bit arrogant, isn't it, to think we're so important that everything relies on us, that we've got to hold all these things up and forget that actually, where does our help come from? Where does our strength come from? Remember God saying to his people in the desert, just collect enough manna on Friday, for Friday, and for the Sabbath Saturday. Then on the Sabbath Saturday, rest. Well, in our kind of 24/7 society, we can think, oh, it's too risky to stop. I've got to achieve this. I can't afford to lose that time or that my place on that particular ladder, whatever it is. But we need to see that that thinking leads to Sunday being built around work and tackling the normal pressures rather than resting. That's the result of that thinking. it makes the worship of the Lord a kind of keeping up of appearances, coming to church, or an inconvenience, perhaps. An hour and a half at church, kind of just get through that time at church, and then back home, make up for the lost time, and so on. Yeah, we might pick up bits and pieces from the service, but mostly on Sunday, if it's all about what we need to do and crack on with, there's no room in our heads for the Lord, is there? That neglect of the Lord's day forgets we're dust, it forgets God is God, and it's really a breaking of commandment one as well, isn't it? To put ourselves in God's place, if you like. Jesus said, the Sabbath is made for you. It's a gift from God. You know, when you get gifts, sometimes you get a gift you really need, don't you? So this is a gift from God. It's not a gift from God that's like, you know, when you open it and you put it on the mantelpiece as a dust magnet. Oh, that's nice. It'll just sit there for a few years. It's not one of those gifts. This is when you open a gift, it's like, oh, wow, I really needed that. You don't know how much I needed that. That's what this gift of this day is like for us, or should be. But imagine rejecting God's gift. Imagine to leave it just unopened. It's pretty offensive, isn't it, to God? Not to mention foolish for us. God wants us to stop. Because we need to, because he doesn't. He wants us to trust him, but we won't if we don't know him. And if we think we are, to quote the motto for the Invictus Games, the master of my fate, I am the captain of my soul. Well, how should or could the Lord's Day look for us? Well, let's keep on the kind of dust and trust theme. As dust, we must be physically refreshed. Also, as those of weak trust, which we are, we need to be spiritually refreshed. So Sunday, if you like, two things, both his worship, spiritual refreshment, and our rest, physical refreshment. Two big themes, really, for us on Sunday. Well, firstly, rest is needed because we're hardly going to serve our Lord well through the week. At work, at school, before our family, for our employer, if we're not taking time out to be refreshed. Now, of course, rest amongst us will look different. Someone said if you work with your hands, you rest with your mind. Or if you work with your mind, you generally rest with your hands. So, for example, if you have a practical job, like a farmer, then your rest may well look like having a nap. Or reading a book, maybe something to get the mind going. Or if you have a desk job, which you know is constantly stretching your mind in the week, but not your body, then rest for you will probably be something that energizes you for his service, which may be something active, like getting out in the garden, going for a run or a bike ride, something like that. But the aim of rest is that we recharge by doing things that energize us for his service. But of course, worship is the order for the day as well, isn't it? Because as constant doers, what we need to do is stop and remember what God has done for us. Take our eyes off us. Take our eyes off this and that that we're just worrying and stressing about, and lift our eyes to our Creator, to our Lord, to our Savior. Worshipping God with his people is the soul refreshment that all of us so badly need. A week in the world, battling the unseen forces of evil, the wiles of Satan that will hit us from different angles in different ways. What that leaves us, I speak for myself, leaves us all needing spiritual strengthening, doesn't it? So we should use the opportunities we have to come together on the Lord's Day and meet. Let's get controversial for a few minutes. Do we have to meet twice on Sundays? No, we don't. But we should want to. And we think, well, yeah, we do want to meet twice on Sundays. I do want to meet, but church is quite long. It takes up a lot of Sunday. It'd be nice to have kind of a bit more time with a family, maybe time to relax. Okay, Christian, who is your true family? Have a family on earth, very important. Who's your family for eternity? And if we're using our extra bonus day of Saturday well, which we have in our culture, well, if we're using that well for family, for the enjoyment of God's creation, can't we use the Lord's Day for the Lord's? We get 2 in 7 rather than 1 at the moment, don't we? Now, I'm aware this may be stirring some of you up, and let me just remind on this area, Paul's clear we don't judge each other, but let me put it to you and me as dusty, often weakly trusting people, what is better than listening to preaching? Okay, now change that. What's more important than listening? Or what's more important for your soul than listening and coming under God's word? And if we didn't meet twice on Sunday, would it help our worship of the Lord? We didn't come together twice. Would it help our spiritual growth? I've had it easy in one sense because I was raised in a family where they took us to church twice on Sunday. But if right now as a church we decided, it's not going to happen, but if we decided to cut the evening service and from lunchtime, kind of, that was it church-wise, speaking of myself, what would I do for the rest of the day? What might me and my family do? I'm not sure. I've not had the experience really. But I do know I would be tempted to make the Sunday morning the kind of God bit tick. And the rest of the day, well, fine, go on an outing. We've quite a bit of time left. If that was it at lunch, maybe go on an outing. Maybe, watch something, long, or a few films together. I don't know, do maybe stuff the rest of the world does. It's a bit direct. But if you don't come to the evening service, and you can come to the evening services, we just need to ask ourselves why that is. Because what the Lord wants us to see in the use of his day is that he's giving us this gift to help us worship him, to help us trust him more, to use his day well. I mean, it could be we have difficulty with evening services because we aren't using Saturday well. It could be we fall asleep on Sunday mornings because of me, fair enough. Or it could be because we don't use our Saturday evenings wisely. Now, again, we'd be careful. We're not being legalistic about this. We're not to judge. We're free in Christ. We're thinking wisdom here. And we need to ask ourselves, how can we use God's gift well? This day is a gift. How can we use it for his glory? So shouldn't we want to rest well on Saturday so we can worship well on Sunday? Shouldn't that be in a Christian? Don't we know, and we do know, don't we, that if we get bedtime wrong on Saturday night, well, Sunday's likely to be a bit of a write-off, really, in terms of listening. Most of us need 8 to 9 hours sleep. If we get 6 or less, what does that say, by choice, what does that say about our value of the Lord's Day? See, our problem with the Lord's Day will be because we approach his day without a Lord's Day heart, if you like. When we come to Sunday and it's just about us. You know that feeling? When we just, it's all about us. We don't like the songs because we don't like that song. Or, that sort of thing. Or we have a kind of, we won't have the Lord's Day heart when church is just an add-on. Sort of when church and the worship of the Lord orbits the day rather than the day orbiting the worship of the Lord. When we fail to see and use God's gift of Sunday, we don't bring a Lord's Day heart to the day, and our thoughts are often still on all the things that they're on all the rest of the week. That the pace doesn't slow down, our minds don't switch off. Church has become a duty rather than a delight. And the rest of the week, well, or rather the rest of the day on Sunday, should I say, well, it looks pretty much like the rest of the world. If all our days, here's one way to think if we're not using the gift God gives us well, is to think, if all our days look pretty much the same as each other, actually we're not remembering the fourth commandment. Here's some things that can kill Sunday for us. Technology, phones, iPads, social media. They can kill our rest. Can we leave them for one day? I think, no way, they're too important. Really? Do we manage before we had phones and iPads? Why not? If that's a problem for you, and some of us it is a problem for, if it's a problem, why not make Sunday? Make an effort to make Sunday a tech-free day as much as possible. I dare you to try it, some of you. Online shopping, watching screens, all the stuff we do in the week. You know, why not for one day just leave them? Maybe read the Bible instead. Maybe find a good Christian book to read. Start up and keep good habits on the Lord's Day that will help you. That will bless his name. If our head is full of things to do, and on Sunday our heads can be full of things to do, just like other days, and then sometimes we can be like, okay, my head is, I've got to go and do that now. Instead of that, why don't we just write it down? Sorry, it's obvious, isn't it? I'm not meant to be patronizing, but just write it down on a list. Then it's gone. We don't have to remember it anymore. We've run a list. We can save that for Monday or beyond. And then we can use the time to turn our attention to something else, something that's going to help us, really benefit us and help us to worship the Lord. Maybe also instead of supporting shops, like again, careful legalism. We need something, go to a shop, get it. I've done that before, but do we want to be actively or kind of making time to go to shops on Sundays? Shouldn't we be, of all people in our society, people that are promoting God's pattern of 1 in 7? And so just leaving the shops, not supporting that. What about vegging out on Sundays? It's nice. We need vegging out time, don't we? Slobbing around time. But does vegging out to secular TV and stuff like that grow our worship and trust? Can we, if we have to veg out on Sunday, can we veg out to Christian films? There are some decent ones out there. How can we best use the day? That's what we're thinking about, isn't it? How can we change the pace? If we can't rest at home because our house is just this task-filled place, well, maybe we should get out, go for a walk, go in the garden, do some gardening, have a bonfire, you know. Grace to the soul, oxygen to the body, that sort of thing. Let's talk about exams. What about those intense times when it's exam season? I've got an exam on Monday, so I have to revise on Sunday. If you need to, do it. But my recommendation would be, using the 1 in 7 principle, take a different day off after the exam. You need a day off. God's clear on that. But better than that, better if we can do this, work hard, then take Sunday. Even though Monday's coming, take Sunday, stop. Worship God. Allow him to speak perspective and peace into your soul. That's exercising trust in him, isn't it? Did Jesus say, seek first the A star? No, he said, seek first the kingdom, didn't he? Now, a good exam result might get you a decent job for 40 years, but who's getting you to heaven for all eternity? But again, careful with saying this. I know I'm being controversial. Let's not judge each other. But we need to think, we all need to think, where we draw the lines on Sunday in our homes. How do we worship? How do we rest? In what way is Sunday different for you? In what way is it set apart? In Genesis, God sets the pattern. The Sabbath anticipates the Lord's Day. And the Lord's Day looks ahead to the eternal rest to come through Jesus. The rest to come. Very briefly. See, when God rested, Adam and Eve lived in that perfect rest, didn't they? Albeit for a short time. And what a gift Eden was for them. That was what it was meant to be, isn't it? That was the plan. It didn't last long. But Jesus restores us for the eternal rest to come. We are made for rest. And some of us are thinking, yep, I am made for rest. Of course we are. That's why we struggle in life, isn't it? That's why we find it hard. That's why we just find things difficult. That's why also we find it hard to stop when we need to. That's why we need our Lord's Day rest. This isn't how it's meant to be. And this isn't how it will be for those in Christ. Because wonderfully in Christ, we are saved for the rest to come. the rest to come is the absence of thorns and thistles, all those things that came after the fall, or the pain and difficulty we struggle with so much. And why are we saved? How are we saved? Well, of course, it was wonderfully our Saviour who came and toiled for us, didn't he? Jesus worked for us. He worked for us that we might come to him, that all those who are weary and burdened might come and find true rest in him now. Physical rest on a Sunday, spiritual rest. That we might hold him up and say, I can rest. I actually really can because of Jesus. I can trust God even with lots to do, lots to worry about because of Jesus. And I can look with great hope to the rest to come. We get so caught up in this world, don't we? We rarely look ahead. I read it from Hebrews earlier, quite an involved passage. But there was a key verse or two there. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Let us make every effort to enter that rest. He's talking of Eden restored, no more fall. So let us now pursue rest in Jesus. Let us use the gift of Sundays to reset our inner compass, if you like. Because every time we rest now, we take the Lord's Day to rest, we're anticipating the rest to come. If you're too busy to use the Lord's Day well, then you are too busy and you need to stop. God's pattern is great, but it's useless if we don't actually use it. We simply harm ourselves if we don't accept God's gift for us. In a world that doesn't stop, we must.